Morning, friends. Let's pray and ask God for his help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word speaks to us today. We pray now that as we reflect on John's letter, we pray that you would help us to understand it and to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back in 2004, I was living in Shanghai, China, on an exchange program for a semester. And one of the tourist attractions was this market where you could buy all sorts of stuff, clothes, shoes, accessories. The amount of stores they had was just enormous. And many of the things they sold were copies of the original. And so you've got the classic Nike shoes that has the famous tick. That's back to front. You've got the Adidas shoes with two stripes instead of three. You've got the classic Polo Ralph Lauren polo shirt that's got the horse logo that's not looking quite right. And so for all these things, it was pretty easy to spot a fake from the real thing. But recently, I've developed an interest in vintage watches. And when it comes to watches, it's not that easy. Because sometimes the fake looks exactly like the real thing. I've been able to score a couple of bargains, but to do this, I've had to do quite a lot of research. I've had to get a second opinion from my watch guy. I've had to read some internet forums, watch YouTube clips, compare pictures. It's a lot of work, but it's worth doing because, of course, I don't want to get ripped off. But even more important is this. When it comes to matters of our faith, when it comes to the gospel, this is something we want to make sure we never get wrong. And so how do you pick the real gospel from a fake gospel? How do you pick the real Christian from a fake? You see, this was a massive issue when John wrote these letters. A lot of fake Christians claiming to be the real deal. A lot of fake Christians leaving the church, causing division, unsettling the people. You see, John's writing this letter in the late first century. He's an old man. Christianity has grown, spread to a point where there's different versions of Christianity out there. I've got my version of Christianity. You guys have yours. Similar thing today, isn't it? And so, how do you pick the real Christian from a fake? Well, what are the tests to pick the real from the counterfeit? Well, that's what we're going to see in today's passage. And John says, here's the first test. Real Christians fellowship with the real Jesus. Stick with the real Jesus. John says, you want to know the real Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Jesus Seminar movement, not the Da Vinci Code Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible. You want to know him? Well, I'm an eyewitness of him. I've seen him. He's the word of life, the very source of all life. Just like how God spoke a word and life came at creation, God has spoken again and eternal life has come. I've seen the word of life who was with the Father from the beginning. But now he's appeared. He's appeared on earth in flesh. This isn't made up stuff. This isn't some myth. This isn't something that John has imagined in his mind or speculated. John and the apostles heard Jesus speak. They've seen him with their own eyes. John was right there when he saw the horror of Jesus dying on a cross. They've touched him. John saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. He ate with him, spoke to him, touched the wounds in his hands and in his side. Have a look with me. John chapter 1 and verse 1. He says there, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. You see what John's trying to reinforce here, really trying to emphasize. There are eyewitness testimonies. It is all true. Jesus, the Word of life, has appeared. Jesus is the real deal. He is God come in flesh. And you see, this really shows us how Christianity is totally different from all the other religions. Everything depends on the historical Jesus. You see, without him, there is no Christianity. You can still have Buddhism without Buddha. You can still have Islam without Muhammad. You can still have Mormonism without Joseph Smith. But you can't have Christianity without Christ. It's all bound up with the person of Jesus. And you see, Jesus, he didn't discover anything. He didn't reach some sort of spiritual enlightenment like the founder of Buddhism. He didn't receive a revelation from an angel like Muhammad or Joseph Smith. No, he was there from the very beginning with the Father. You see, he is God come in flesh. And John says, we're telling you these things of what we've seen, of what we've heard, not just to give you information, but to change your life forever. You see, we're telling you these things because what we've passed on to you is the real deal. Don't go second guessing. Don't get pulled in different directions. Don't listen to the noise of heretics, but stay on this truth. Stay on this path. We're telling you these things so that you can have fellowship with us, the apostles, because we are the real deal. We are the real deal Christians. Fellowship with us means nothing less than fellowship with God himself. Fellowship with the Father and Son, Jesus Christ. We're telling you this so that we can share in the joy that you know and believe this great news, that in Jesus we have fellowship with God himself. Have a look at verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So you can see, John is really wanting to emphasize the eyewitness testimony. Jesus has come. They've seen him. They've heard him. There's no new revelation. There's no new knowledge from God. What the apostles know is the real thing. And so here's how you know they're real Christians from the fakes. They have fellowship with the real Jesus. They stick to the real Jesus. That's the first test. And John says, here's the second test. Real Christians walk in the light. You see, our ethics, the way we live, is bound up with God's character. This is the message that John and the apostles received from Jesus himself. The message that God is light. Now, what does that mean? Well, you see, John the Apostle, he loves using this image of light and darkness. We see it in his gospel. We see it in his letters. And they have this dual meaning. So intellectually, God is light. That means that everything about God is true. There's no error in him. He's full of truth and integrity. If you're in the dark, or you're in ignorance, you don't have the truth. So intellectually, God is light. But there's also a moral aspect. God is morally perfect. He's pure. He's holy, separate, distinct from us. God radiates honesty, openness, perfection. Being in the dark means living in sin and evil. Have a look at verse 5. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So God is light. He's perfect in every way, which means real Christians walk in the light. Sin matters to real Christians. It doesn't matter how big or small or whatever it is, it matters because God is full of light. You see, our ethical living is bound up with God's character. And so to say you're a real Christian and walk in darkness, to continue to indulge in a lifestyle of sin, to knowingly live a life of lies and deceit and corruption like it doesn't matter, John says you're a fake. Because if you're happy to keep on going in your sin, if you prefer darkness than light, you're a counterfeit Christian. In fact, John says we're deceiving ourselves, we're lying to ourselves, and we're not living by the truth. The truth that God is light, the truth that sin really matters. And so John says in verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. How do we know we're the real deal Christian? It's walking in the light, not in darkness. Sin matters to the real Christian. You see, it matters so much, Jesus needs to shed his blood on the cross to purify us, to cleanse us from all our sin. And so that's the second test. Real Christians walk in the light. Sin matters. And here's John's third test. Real Christians confess their sin. Now, sin isn't a very popular thing to talk about today. Because, of course, it's saying that we've got something wrong with us. And in our society, we like to think that we're not that bad. It's the external stuff that has made us what we are. You know, it's our upbringing, it's our environment, it's the society. And, of course, that's not to say that these things don't affect us. But the point is, we like to pass the blame. We like to think, really, there's nothing internally wrong with us. You know, we just need to fix the external influences and that will make us better. But here's the hard truth of what John says, verse 8. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, the Bible is very clear that we are all sinful. We're full of it. There is no one who's sinless except Jesus. The Bible says we're born with this sinful nature, this inclination to rebel. You see, sin runs right through to the core of our being, to all of us. We're born with this inclination to live our own way, to please ourselves, to put ourselves in the center. You see, I don't have to teach my kids to throw tantrums, to be rude and unkind to others, because it's in their nature to just rebel. It's in their nature to live their own way. And that is the same for all of us. It doesn't matter who we are. There's a story that one time, the great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, he met a man who claimed he was without sin. Now, Spurgeon, he invited this man over for dinner, and he listened as this man talked about how, you know, he's sinless. He's a sinless man. And after hearing this for a while, Spurgeon, he picked up his glass of water and threw it in the man's face. And of course, the man got very angry, as any of us would, expressed it in ways that are not pleasant to say. And Spurgeon said to him, "Ah, you see, the old man within you is not dead. He had simply fainted and could be revived with a glass of water." John says, we are kidding ourselves if we claim to be without sin. And you see, this is exactly what the fake Christians were saying, denying that they have any sin. You know, maybe they thought that because of their superior knowledge and experience of God, this Gnosticism that Andrew was talking about, they reached some sort of sinless perfection. But John says they are deluded. They're not living with the truth and knowledge of God. In fact, these counterfeits were going even further than just denying this. They were saying that they don't commit any sin. Yeah, somehow they're thinking that their superior knowledge and enlightenment meant that they were incapable of sinning. In fact, this was similar to a movement called the Holiness Movement that started in the 19th century. They believed in something called a second blessing, which cleansed people of their tendency to commit any sin. John says, you're not just deluding yourself now, you are making God out to be a liar. Have a look at verse 10. He says there, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. You know, just imagine if you're in a court and you testify to a crime. You were there, you saw the man pull a gun and rob the store. There's first-hand evidence, DNA evidence, eyewitness testimony. And the accused person denies it. He says, "Oh, I didn't do it." But you saw it with your own eyes. You were there. But he denies it. He's accusing you as a witness to be a liar. And you see, that's what we're doing when we say we don't sin. We're calling God the witness who sees all things in our life. We're calling him a liar. The evidence is all there. Imagine a DVD of our life played out on screen. Every bad thought, word and deed exposed. All the darkness of our lives uncovered. I mean, how could you ever deny it? Well, John says, to deny it is evidence that you're a fake Christian. To deny it is evidence that God's word is not in us. Because God's word tells us that all people have fallen short of the glory of God. God's word tells us that there is no one righteous, no one right with God, not even one, all have turned away. God's word, the good news of salvation in Jesus, assumes that we're sinners in need of saving. You see, these fake Christians claiming this were not the real deal. They were fakes. Because the real Christians, what do? They don't walk in darkness, but in light. They don't claim to be without sin. They don't deny committing sin. They don't hide it away. They confess. They fess up their sins. They acknowledge their sinfulness. They acknowledge that they need rescuing. Have a look at verse 9. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. God is faithful to keep his promises and is just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, if we fess up, if we confess our sins, God will forgive us. He will purify us, cleanse us from all our sin. But how does this work? How can God just cleanse us from all our unrighteousness? How can we ever stand before a holy God who is light, whose eyes are too pure to look upon evil? I mean, where does the damage of our sin go? Well, imagine I was to lend you my car and you crashed it. It's going to cost to fix it now. Now, I can ask you to pay for the cost of damage to repair the car, or I could absorb the cost myself and pay it myself. You see, the cost of the damage has to be borne by someone. The cost doesn't just disappear. And that is the same thing with us. The cost of our sin has to be borne by someone. And John tells us this good news. It's borne by Jesus. Jesus is the righteous one. He's the one who's without sin. He's the one who lived without sin. And you see, John saw this with his very own eyes. Jesus died the death that we deserved on a cross. On the cross, Jesus bore the punishment of our sin. Now, this wasn't some cosmic accident. It's not like Jesus was some third party between sinners and a reluctant God. It's not like the Father was punishing an innocent third party, the Son, for our sins. No, it is God himself in the person of Jesus absorbing the cost, taking upon himself the punishment that his wrath justly demands, and he satisfies its penalty, and so atones for our sins. Have a look at 1 John chapter 2 now, and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." You see, friends, that is good news. Jesus, the righteous one, he's perfect, which means he can atone for our sins. And this means Jesus becomes our advocate in heaven. He dies the death on the cross, but he also resurrects, defeating sin and death once and for all. You see, the very presence of Jesus, the righteous one in heaven, speaks on our behalf. It reminds us of his finished work on the cross. It's done and dusted, which means we've got nothing to fear, which means there's real assurance for real Christians. assurance that we're restored and in a right relationship with God, that we have fellowship with God. You see, if we genuinely confess our sins to God, put our trust in Jesus and ask God to forgive us, God promises to forgive our sins and cleanse us. You see, what Jesus did on the cross, this is sufficient for the whole world. His offer of salvation is for everyone in this world, for people in this room. And so let me ask you, have you put your trust in Jesus? He's the only way you can have fellowship with the living God. You don't have to reach some sort of spiritual enlightenment. You don't have to fulfill any five pillars or some rules. To have fellowship with the God of this universe, all you need to do is put your trust in Jesus, the Son of God. And so can you see what's here in this passage today? How do you pick the real Christian from the fake? First, John says, real Christians fellowship with the real Jesus. Stick with the real Jesus. Second, John says, real Christians walk in the light, not in darkness. Sin matters. Third, John says, real Christians confess their sins. They don't deny it. And so here's how you pick the real Christian from the fake. Here's how you know you've got the right version of Christianity. In fact, there's really only one version of Christianity. The version that sticks to what John is saying in this passage. This is the real gospel. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God who's come in flesh to die for the sins of the world. Because you see, there are churches out there that don't believe this. There are churches out there that think this is all fiction. There are churches out there that think Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. There's churches out there that think that Jesus didn't really die on the cross for our sins. He just died on the cross as a moral example for us to follow. Because, of course, talking about sin and God's judgment isn't very popular. But just like what was happening in John's time, these people who say these things, these churches who teach these things, they're not real Christians, they're fakes. They're the fake Nike, the fake Adidas with two stripes. People who claim to be Christians but promote these things, they are not the real deal. Because the real deal are those who align to what John's preaching and teaching in this passage. Which means we've got to be very careful, don't we? We've got to be careful when someone comes to us and says they've got some new revelation about Jesus that doesn't match up with what John is telling us. He's the eyewitness testimony. We've got to be careful when something about how people come to us and talk about how they can reach sinless perfection in this life. Whatever it is that contradicts what the apostles have passed on to us, what they're teaching, whatever it is that contradicts God's word, it's not the real deal. And so we've got to be very careful, especially in our understanding of sin. You see, with the influence of our society today, where there is no right or wrong, where it seems it's all subjective and relative, you know, we can start to think sin isn't that big of a deal. And that's what was happening in John's time. But you see, I reckon it can work itself in our own lives as well. Maybe when we think we can continue in a lifestyle of sin, walking in darkness, and not really think it's a problem. You know, indulge in it, preferring darkness, thinking that we're still in fellowship with God. Or maybe it's when we justify our sinful behavior. You know, we play things down from what they really are. I'm not stealing, I'm just helping myself to the perks. I'm not really committing adultery, it's just an affair. Not being selfish, I'm just standing up for my rights. Not really gossiping, I'm just sharing my thoughts. I didn't get angry, I was just being passionate. It's just a white lie, it's not going to hurt anyone. Or we can pass the blame. It's an external problem, it's not us. It's the way I handle stress, that's why I get angry, it's not my fault. I'm under a lot of pressure, that's why I'm impatient, that's why I yelled at my kids or my spouse or my housemate. It's all that marketing and the easy access to the internet, that's why I'm watching pornography. John says, we don't call sin for what it is, we are calling God a liar. We're denying his word. when we pass the blame, we're deceiving ourselves as if the problem is not us. John says that is not the real Christian. The real Christian walks in the light, doesn't indulge in sin, doesn't use the forgiveness of Christ, the blood of Jesus, as a license to sin, but comes to God in genuine humility and confession. Comes to God with empty hands as a guilty sinner, desperately asking for mercy. You see, it's not that as Christians, we don't sin. Of course we do. We're not going to be perfect until Jesus returns, until Jesus comes and gives us a new body in a new kingdom with no sin, suffering, or death. But as God's children, as real Christians, we have fellowship with the real Jesus. We walk in the light with Christ. We walk in the light, striving for righteousness, not in the darkness of sin and evil. And here's the encouraging thing. I'm sure many of us here can see God's work in our lives. By the power and work of His Spirit, God makes us more like Christ. As we walk with Christ, we see Him more clearly. We love Him more dearly, and we see our sin more severely. We see our sin for what it is. Maybe our actions, words, or attitudes that we wouldn't have seen before. Our consciences are being sensitized by the Spirit through God's Word. I like how this commentator puts it. He says, "One of God's projects in the life of every growing Christian is to peel back more and more layers of our hidden depravity and sinfulness as we can bear it, so that we start to see ourselves as we really are in God's sight." And so, friends, there's the encouragement to continue to struggle with sin. God is changing us from the inside out, which means we need to be opened to what God's teaching us and exposing in us, and not resist, not make excuses like it's just one of our weaknesses. You see, it's important to think about how we react when others around gently rebuke us or expose something that we can't see in ourselves. How do we react? Do we dodge the issue? Write it off? When I was at Bible college back in Sydney, I had a group of college mates. And we would try to meet up every week to encourage and pray for each other as we went through studies together. Now, one of my mates called the group the Iron Men. Proverbs 27:17 said, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And so one time, we did something a bit different. Every week, one of us would be placed in the hot seat. The person would share about how they're going in life, what they're struggling with, what their temptations were. And we would all talk about some encouraging things about this person, encourage them. We would also talk about areas where they could grow, where they've got blind spots. And you know, it wasn't easy being put in the hot seat. But you see, this was one of the best experiences that I had at college. Having others dear to me, challenge me, expose sinful areas in my life. You see, friends, this is the privilege of gathering as a church. What do? Right at the start, we confess our sins together, don't we? It's the privilege of gathering together during the week in Bible studies. We encourage and we also sharpen each other to grow to be more like Christ, to help each other walk in the light as we wait for Jesus' return. And friends, as we do all this, we have 100% confidence in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. There is amazing comfort here. There is real assurance for real Christians. Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins. Are you weighed down by past burdens? Friends, Jesus has paid for your sins. Is shame and guilt crippling you? Jesus has paid for your sins. Are there things in your conscience that somehow you feel deserve to be punished? Friends, Jesus has paid for all your sins. He's done all the work on the cross. We have peace with God. We're friends with Him in a restored relationship. Do you know this? Do you have confidence? Because that is why John is writing. He's writing to give you confidence of your assurance of eternal life. That if you stick with the real Jesus, that if you walk in the light, that if you confess your sins, you have fellowship with the living God, that you are the real deal Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are light. You are perfect in every way, without blemish, without any hint of darkness. Father, thank you that you have worked in our hearts to see the truth of Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would help us to stick to Jesus. Help us to live in light of what you've done for us. Thank you for the assurance you've given us that our sins have been paid for. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.